Well, we've just prayed together the Lord's Prayer, and that is the subject of our study together on Sunday mornings over the next several Sundays. We began last week, and I want to draw your attention once again to these words in Luke chapter 11, the gospel lesson for today, which includes these words of prayer. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation." And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him.' He will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise up and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and the one who seeks, finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" This is the gospel of the Lord. Well, let's pray together, and let's make our prayer this morning that request of that one disciple who came to Jesus. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord and Savior, teach us to pray. And we thank you for this, Lord. Amen. So we've prayed the Lord's Prayer, and we've read the Lord's Prayer, and of course, we are very familiar with these words because we pray them together frequently, and we probably pray them as well in our lives personally, perhaps even on a daily basis. It's very easy for us just to miss their significance because we're so used to seeing those words and hearing those words. When Tony and I lived in England, we lived on the south side of London, and I would drive across Westminster Bridge from Southwark, and I would come into Parliament Square 3-4 times a week at least on my way to particular meetings. And so there you drive past Westminster Abbey and St. Margaret's Church and Central Hall Westminster and the Houses of Parliament, and then up Whitehall past Scotland Yard and into Trafalgar Square, and you're seeing all these things. And you remember, people pay a lot of money to come and see that stuff. And to me, it was just my daily commute. Just drive on. Oh, there's Winston Churchill. Okay, hey, right. Tate, all right, there's the National Gallery. Fine, Trafalgar Square. One time, I was stopped in a traffic jam on the bridge, and I rolled down my window, turned to the person, and I said, "What's going on? What's with all?" He said, "Well, it's a state opening of Parliament. It's the Queen." It's like, oh, great, the Queen. Just sat there working on my wave. People would have been thrilled to see that. To me, it was just the daily commute. We just drive past it. We can do that with the Lord's Prayer. These amazing words that Jesus gave us. The privilege of saying, "Our Father." In just a moment, we'll add to this, professing our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. And we'll stand together and say, "I believe in God the Father Almighty." Whether we're praying in faith or professing our faith, right at the center of who we are as a believing people is this confession of God as our Father. Of course, as soon as we start talking about God as our Father, that can bring some dark clouds on the horizon for many people. In academic circles, referring to God as Father is frowned upon by many as some kind of discredited holdover from an overly paternalistic woman-oppressing age. So we mustn't really talk about God as Father. That's just human language. And of course, many people have suffered at the hands of abusive fathers. And many people have suffered by the abandonment of families by selfish fathers. And so not always does the word father have wonderful connotations. The actress Marilyn Monroe said, "When I was a youngster, I lived with different families. I nearly always felt closer to the man of the house, maybe because I always dreamed of having a father of my own." You know the great sadness of her adult life as she moved from man to man. Maybe the hunger of her heart for the father she never knew. And yet, the prodigal, there in his pig pen, when he comes to his senses, will say these words, "I will arise and go to my father." He knew he would be welcome in his father's house. The poet Mark Twain said, "Home is where, when you come there, they have to take you in." And yet the Father, our Father in heaven, rejoices to receive us back. You'll remember that that Father ran towards his Son and embraced him and kissed him. And so when we pray this prayer, whether personally or congregationally, we're praying words that Jesus has given us that flow out of his own communion with the Father. And it is this which must bring us back, most essentially, to this issue of the wonder of saying, "Our Father in heaven." John wrote in his gospel, "Everyone who believes in Jesus receives the power to become the children of God." And later he will write, "See what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God." And that is what we are. It has not yet appeared what we shall be, but we know that when Jesus appears, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. But right now, even in our imperfect and very sinful fallen state, we are nonetheless beloved children of God. And that's why Paul, writing to the Romans, just as you heard this morning in that lesson, he notes that God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of Jesus, has come to the believer and dwelt within us so that we begin to cry out, "Abba, Father." That's an old Aramaic expression. Abba, it would be very similar in English to Papa. It's not an informal, disrespectful word like, "Hey, Pops," but one of deep affection, of true intimacy. This is the word that Jesus uses, his Father, his Abba. And it is this relationship which we are brought into. And this reminds us that our starting point may be something different than we thought. If we think that God is our Father and we address him as our Father because we are, first of all, his children, we'll have missed something entirely significant in that little word, "our." Jesus said, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father.'" And that meant he included himself. We pray with him. He gives us his prayer. He had just come from prayer. Jesus was praying, "Lord, teach us to pray as well. Pray, 'Our Father, our Father.'" We never actually pray alone. There is in the Lord's Prayer no I or me or my or mine. It's always our. We pray, even when we are alone, in concert with every brother and sister, and most importantly, we are praying along with our mediator, Jesus Christ. God is not the Father because we are his children. That's not why God is the Father. God is eternally the Father. That is who he is, just as Jesus is eternally the Son. God the Father does not, like us, become a father. "I was a son. I became a father. I was not eternally a father." God is eternally the Father because he is eternally in relationship with God the Son, the mystery of the Holy Trinity. And I know some of you, your eyes could glaze over at this point and go, "Ah, theology, ah, ah." theologian, blind man in a dark room looking for a black cat that isn't there and finding it. I get it. But bear with me. God is eternally the Father. And this means when you say Father, you are entering into the relationship that He has with His Son from all eternity. When Jesus teaches us to say Father, He is inviting us into the eternal fellowship of the Holy Trinity. You're being called up into the very presence of God. You're being brought into that. This is why Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, and I have loved you with the same love the Father has given to me. The Father is in me, and I am in the Father, and we will be in you, and you will be in us. When we pray, Our Father, we are entering into the life, the presence of the triune God. And we're doing that together as a church, not just as individuals. We're praying alongside our church, which is our mother. Tertullian, the early church theologian, said, when we say Father, we don't neglect the mother, the church, since the mother is always found with the Father and the Son. Yet it has to be said, it does have to be said, that there's a lot of people who attend church and never quite discover intimacy with the Father, really knowing God. Gloria Steinem, who I do not often quote in sermons, said, most American children suffer too much mother and too little father. There are some Christians who have a whole lot of church and not a lot of God. But when we are together with God's people, we are to draw near to God. And this is why Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. And whatever they ask of the Father will be given to them. Prayer is deeply communal because it involves us with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And because it engages us with one another, we never pray alone. But prayer then to the Father is deeply personal, isn't it? And that's because we're praying to the Father who is perfect. Jesus said, your Father in heaven is perfect. You see, that deals with the issue that so many people have when they talk about our imperfect fathers here. I don't want to talk about God as Father. I have bad images of Father. Okay, I understand. I know that. But God the Father is perfect. He's the perfect Father. He's the one from whom all other fatherhood derives its name. I know some of you sitting here this morning are perfect fathers. Well, okay, I won't ask for a show of hands. No, the truth is, none of us are perfect fathers, but there is someone who is the perfect Father. And Jesus said, your Father is in heaven, knows what you need before you ask. We go, well, what am I asking for? If He knows what I need, what's the point? But of course, the point, as we noted last week, is not about asking. It's about fellowship. It's about being together. It's about being in presence. About the proximity of hearts. God is the Father of Israel in the Old Testament. He calls Israel the whole nation. He says, that's my son. That's my Israel. But in the New Testament, when you open the pages there, you find that God is not satisfied to simply call a nation His son. He wants to call each and every single one of us His child. And so He comes to each of us personally and He inscribes our names on the palms of His hands, and He does it through the nails that Jesus bore at the cross. And He puts the Holy Spirit within us so that each of us cry out with Jesus, Abba, Father. That word of intimacy, of joyous fellowship with the Father, of longing to be with the Father, of enjoying His presence. I was on an El Al flight, the very first time I ever heard this word used in a contemporary setting. I was flying an El Al flight, Israel Airlines, from New York over to Tel Aviv. And if you know me at all, you know I'm a bad traveler. You don't want to travel with me. I should get a big book and be left alone. And I don't like to be disturbed. I don't like noise. I don't like noisy children on planes. I'll just say it. And there was this little fella. This little fellow halfway across the Atlantic on the flight, running up and down the aisle. Abba, Abba, Abba. He kept crying. And I was like, Get him under control. Haven't you read Proverbs? It's in your half of the book. Come on. Come on. Abba, 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 Abba. And then it suddenly hit me. Abba, Abba, Abba. That's the word Jesus used in prayer. Father, Papa, Abba. This kid was having a blast. That's usually not what we associate with prayer, is it? Let's have a big time. Come to the prayer meeting. But in fact, that nearness and that intimacy of heart, that sense of belonging and joyous acceptance is what Jesus gives us in prayer. And that's because prayer is so powerful. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray a composite version of Luke and Matthew. And it says, Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father in heaven. Heaven is not geography and space. It's not that we're down here and he's up there. That's the way we tend to think about it. But that's a very, very infantile understanding of what is simply the realm of the spirit, which gave birth to the realm of the material. We note it when we talk about the invisible world in the Nicene Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. There is an invisible world, the world of angels, the world of dark powers too, but the world of the Spirit that gave birth to this world. And when we pray, that world has its veil pulled back and its powers unleashed within ours. In Luke chapter 3, listen to these amazing words. It says, as Jesus was being baptized, it says, as he was praying, the heavens were opened and the Spirit came down. That's what happens when God's people pray. As we're praying, the heavens are opened and the Spirit comes down. You want to know why Satan so resists all of our efforts to pray? Makes it appear to be ineffective? Makes us think that it's boring, tries to distract us. You can go out of here today and say, I'm going to pray. And then you can get home and say, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray right now. And as soon as you say, I'm going to pray, a thought will come into your mind. Weed eating. I had to clean the kitchen. Anything that will keep you from prayer. Anything but prayer. John Wesley's mother, the godly Susanna Wesley, she gave birth to 19 children. Only 6 made it to adulthood. 2 of them changed the world, John and Charles. And when she was a mom surrounded by all those children, she used to take her apron and pull it up over her head. And they knew that when mom had that apron up over her head, they better leave her alone. She was talking to God. She had a lot to talk to God about. Prayer brings the dimension of the Spirit, the dimension of God's power, the dimension of the kingdom into our world. The heavens and the highest heavens cannot contain him. And we come with humble hearts. God says in Isaiah, to this one I will look, to this one who is lowly of spirit and who trembles at my word. We hear the words from the Old Testament lesson in Jeremiah that says, call to me, I will answer you, I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. And he then goes on to say, the days are coming when I will fulfill my word. Look at that connection. Call to me. I will answer you. The days are coming when I will fulfill my word. How does God fulfill his word on the earth? How does God bring to pass the promise that he has made? He brings it to pass when God's people fall on their knees and call on him. Then, out of the concert of God's people, comes the sovereign answer of God. The heavens are opened. The Spirit invades. The kingdom comes. His will is done on earth as it is in heaven. This because we go to our Father who loves us. With his last breath, John Paul II said, let me go home to the house of my Father. And he closed his eyes and died. In the end, we will all go to the house of our Father. But Jesus has died and given to us, bestowed on us his righteousness, so that in our imperfect state, we have perfect access to God, his righteousness. And he has given us his Spirit so that we can call God by the same name he uses, Father, Abba. And we have the same access to the throne of grace that Jesus does. And that is why, beloved, our greatest privilege is prayer, and why when we pray, we can come and say, "Oh, Father," not simply "my Father," but "our Father." And when I say "our Father," I am praying with angels and archangels. I am praying with the Lord Jesus. I am praying with you. We are praying with every Christian around the world. And we are praying for the powers of the heavens to invade the earth. What a privilege. Let's not drive past that scenery anymore. Let's see its glory. And let us pray. Let's pray. Our Father, forgive our prayerlessness. Forgive our simply driving past these words and not being caught by their wonder. And grant us each day the passion to draw near to you in your throne of grace and to pray in Jesus' name, to pray in Jesus' presence, to pray with Jesus' righteousness, to pray that your kingdom would come. And then bring us safely to your house. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.